Not everyone was wrong when God judged. Now, this is interesting as we focus on this. We're looking at chapter 6 of the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel is a great prophet. He's talking about the judgment here. And this is a very good day to read the Bible. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. My name is Rod Hember.
And I'm Janice.
And we're going to do that in about 3 minutes' time, taking a look at 14 verses as we focus on this. And may the Lord help us to understand, because this is important. Corey is here. Corey, what's going on?
Today, I'm focusing in on something that God asks Ezekiel to do in Ezekiel chapter 5 that's actually against the Mosaic law, and that is shave. Ryan?
Well, today, in continuation of yesterday, I'm going to be expanding on our study of Ezekiel's 430 days.
Very interesting. All right, Janice.
It's our Fun Friday wrap-up question, and hopefully it'll be fun for you. Anywhere from Jeremiah 46 through to Ezekiel chapter 7 and Psalms 94 to 98.
Ezekiel 6, 1 through 14. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face toward the mountains of Israel and prophesy against them, and say, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God to the mountains, to the hills, to the ravines, and to the valleys. Indeed, I, even I, will bring a sword against you, and I will destroy your high places. Then your altars shall be desolate, your incense altars shall be broken, and I will cast down your slain men before your idols. And I will lay the corpses of the children of Israel before their idols, and I will scatter your bones all around your altars. In all your dwelling places, the cities shall be laid waste, and the high places shall be desolate, so that your altars may be laid waste and made desolate, your idols may be broken and made to cease, your incense altars may be cut down, and your works may be abolished. The slain shall fall in your midst, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Yet I will leave a remnant, so that you may have some who escape the sword among the nations when you are scattered through the countries. Then those of you who escape will remember me among the nations where they are carried captive, because I was crushed by their adulterous heart, which has departed from me, and by their eyes, which play the harlot after their idols. They will loathe themselves for the evils which they committed in all their abominations. And they shall know that I am the Lord. I have not said in vain that I would bring this calamity upon them. Thus says the Lord God, pound your fists and stamp your feet and say, alas, for all the evil abominations of the house of Israel. For they shall fall by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. He who is far off shall die by the pestilence. He who is near shall fall by the sword, and he who remains and is besieged shall die by the famine. Thus I will spend my fury upon them. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, when their slain are among their idols, all around their altars, on every high hill, on all the mountain tops, under every green tree, and under every thick oak, wherever they offered sweet incense to all their idols. So I will stretch out my hand against them, and make the land desolate, yes, more desolate than the wilderness toward Diblah in all their dwelling places. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. Ezekiel chapter 6, verses 1 through 14.
I love the book Ezekiel. I love Ezekiel. He is an awesome person. He's one of the people when I get to heaven I want to meet. And I want to see. I read the Bible, and I'm going to be able to meet all of the authors in the Bible and the people in the Bible. It's going to be exciting. Today, we are reading Ezekiel 5 through 7. We're going to focus on chapter 6, verses 1 to 14. You know, the main reason Jerusalem was judged by God was because they had forgotten him and his mighty act of rescue. Their hearts were hardened like a stone. Now, the interesting thing is God's prophecy is simple. He desires to be known by those who say they serve him. Now, in Ezekiel chapter 6, we hear the message from the Lord speaking to the people of Israel and telling them they need to know God. Remember what we learned in Lamentations and in Deuteronomy 28, God will punish those who turn their back on him. Well, the same thing happens in Ezekiel 6. Ezekiel repeats what God said. The slain shall fall in your midst, and you shall know that I am the Lord. That's chapter 6, verse 7. Now, the Lord tells the people that they must know that it is God who has brought judgment on them. And not because he's evil, but because they have refused to know him, the source of goodness, love, and joy, and peace, justice, and mercy. The implication of chapter 6 is that no one gets away with mishandling the worship of God. Everyone, everywhere, is responsible for how we worship and live. Even you. Even me. We are responsible for how we live and worship. Not the government. Not somebody else. Not the father who made you stub your toe 20 years ago. Not that. We are responsible. Yes, we have things that drive us. But if we come to Jesus Christ, he gives us the ability to overcome anything and everything. That's what we learn. Your Bible guide, you can get it if you write to us or call us. Go to BibleDiscoveryTV.com. Click on the Bible guide. It'll take you to a place where you can download it exactly how we printed it. Remember, we are donation supported. That's our only source of income. So thank you so much. Let's pray. Father, help us to hear what your Holy Spirit says. This book is amazing, and it has your ways in it. It has the way you taught us to be. It has the way you're communicating to us. So help us to hear that, Lord, in Jesus' name today. Amen. Look at chapter 6 and look at verse 1. It says, "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face towards the mountains of Israel and prophesy against them. And say, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God, to the mountains, to the hills, to the ravines, and to the valleys. Indeed, I will bring a sword against you, and I will destroy your high places. Then your altars shall be destroyed. Your incense altars shall be broken, and I will cast down your slain men from before your idols. And I will lay the corpses of the children of Israel before their idols, and I will scatter your bones all around your altars. And in all your dwelling places, the cities shall be laid waste, and the high places shall be desolate, so that your altars may be laid waste and made desolate, and your idols may be broken and made to cease, your incense altars may be cut down, and your works may be abolished. The slain shall fall in your midst, and you shall know that I am the Lord." You know, God tells the people of ancient Judah that no one escapes, not one. They are responsible for their worship. And beloved, today we are responsible for our worship, even today. We are responsible for the music we make and sing. We are responsible for how we give. Giving is an act of worship. We are responsible for how we live. Living is worshiping. We are responsible. We come to God and say, "Lord, forgive me and help me to live right. Help me to be right." Very important. This is what Ezekiel chapter 6 says. It continues. It says, "Yet I will leave a remnant so that you may have some who escape the sword among the nations. And when you are scattered through the countries, then those of you who escape will remember me among the nations where they are captive, carried captive, because I was crushed by their adulterous heart, which has departed from me, and by their eyes, which played the harlot after their idols. They will loathe themselves for the evils which they committed in all their abominations." You see, not everyone was wrong when they were judged. Not everyone is wrong today. We need to come back to Jesus Christ. Beloved, listen to me carefully. There are people who truly love the Lord among us. That's praise God. There are people who are very good, people who truly live for God, people who love and help the church and help the kingdom of God grow among us, as there was in the time of Ezekiel. Absolutely true. Let's read the last couple of verses in this chapter. Here's what it says. "And they shall know that I am the Lord. They shall know that I am the Lord. I have not said in vain that I would bring this calamity upon them. Thus says the Lord God, pound your fist and stamp your feet and say, alas for all of the evil abominations of the house of Israel. For they shall fall by the sword, by the famine and the pestilence. And he who is far off shall die by the pestilence. He who is near shall fall by the sword. And he who remains and is besieged shall die by the famine. Thus I will spend my fury upon them. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, says God. When their slain are among their idols, all around their altars, on every high hill, on all the mountaintops, under every green tree and under every thick oak, wherever they offered sweet incense to their idols, so I will stretch out my hand against them and make the land desolate. Yes, more desolate than the wilderness towards Diblah. In all of their dwelling places, they shall know that I am the Lord." Let me explain this to you. The land was changed by God's hand. The land was changed by God's hand. Now listen to me carefully. The land is being changed again today by God's hand. The land is being changed again today by God's hand. That's the times in which we live. Pay attention, because God is doing things right now. We are discovering the Bible, the 66 books written by the 40 authors.
I'm going to be focusing in on 1 Samuel 28 and the elements of ancient occult.
Why God ultimately rejected Saul as king.
This is very interesting.
It's critical for us to understand exactly what God has told us in this book.
We need to know the Word of God. We need to put it into our hearts, and we need to live it out.
Stay connected with us beyond the program. Follow Bible Discovery TV on Instagram and Facebook for daily encouragement.
All right, well, I know our reading today is Ezekiel chapters 5 through 7, but as I mentioned yesterday, I want to spend some time in Ezekiel chapter 4 to try and figure out what Ezekiel's 430 days were and where they fit into history. Now, if you remember, yesterday we went through some different ideas and theories proposed by scholars over the years, and we left off with a pretty interesting one, which has the 430 years concluding on May 14th, 1948, which, if you didn't know, is the very day that Israel was reestablished as a nation. Now, that would be very significant indeed. But there is more to this theory, so let's take a look.
The priest and prophet Ezekiel was one of the most fascinating persons in the entire Bible, for it was he whom God commanded to act out various skits in order to portray future events. In one instance, God instructed the prophet to lie on his left and right side for a total of 430 days, one day for each year of God's judgment against his people. 390 for the house of Israel, and 40 for the house of Judah. Although the Bible doesn't tell us what time period these 430 years belong to, nor do they seem to fit in with known history, several ideas have been proposed. According to one theory, 70 years of this judgment were already fulfilled during the Babylonian captivity, which still leaves 360 years unaccounted for. A 360 years that, again, doesn't seem to fit with anything in history. However, if we apply God's promise in Leviticus 26 that he would punish his people seven times over for their sins if they did not obey him, some interesting results occur. In fact, multiplying the remaining 360 years by seven yields a result of 2,520 years. Based on the Gregorian calendar with 365-day years, this again seems of little consequence. However, based upon a Jewish reckoning, these 2,520 years equals 907,200 days. Still, where do we apply them? Curiously, plugging in this number to two very significant Jewish events brings us forward to two other very significant Jewish events. The first two major events are the Jewish exile and the destruction of Jerusalem. The Jewish exile began in 606 BC and lasted until the summer of 537 BC. And although we don't know the exact day Israel was set free, if they were released on July 23rd of that year, then 2,520 years would bring us to May 14th, 1948, the very day that Israel was reestablished as a nation. The second major Jewish event was the destruction of Jerusalem, which occurred in 587 BC and lasted until 518 BC, when Nehemiah was granted permission to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. Again, we don't know the exact day that the walls of Jerusalem were rebuilt, but if it was August 16th, 518 BC, then adding 2,520 years would bring us to June 7th, 1967. This was during Israel's famous Six-Day War, in which their miraculous victory led to the restoration of their old biblical city of Jerusalem. Although this theory is speculative and more research needs to be had, these results are nevertheless very interesting.
So while this theory is speculative, it is interesting. Two very significant events in Jewish history, the exile and the destruction of Jerusalem, coming full circle to two other very significant Jewish events, the reestablishing of Israel in 1948 and the Six-Day War in 1967. But wherever we believe these 430 years fit, we shouldn't be dogmatic on this because the Bible simply doesn't tell us. It's a mystery.
It is a mystery, and we're not dogmatic. But I am really fascinated by it. And because God doesn't do things just to do them. He does them timed. God has everything specifically timed. So we need we need to remember that. So that's very interesting, Ryan. Thank you so much. And if you want more information, you can get it on his YouTube channel, Ryan Hembry. Just type Ryan Hembry. It'll take you to his YouTube channel. Get the longer versions of these things and all of that. So it's very good. All right, Corey, you're up. Go.
Okay, well, I want to take a look at Ezekiel chapter 5, where God tells Ezekiel to shave. Now, this was extraordinary because it actually goes against God's law for mourning practices. Take a look. In Ezekiel 5, God commands Ezekiel to shave his hair for mourning. But this goes against God's own laws recorded in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. Why would God command the breaking of his own law? Ezekiel is told to take a sword and use it as a razor to shave his head and beard as a sign to his fellow Judean exiles. It's part of a prophecy to them. But Leviticus 19, 27 to 28 says, "Do not cut the hair at the sides of your head or clip off the edges of your beard. I am the Lord." And Leviticus 21, 5, which is specifically for priests, which Ezekiel was, says, "Priests must not shave their heads or shave off the edges of their beards or cut their bodies. They must be holy to their God and must not profane the name of their God." Regarding mourning practices for the dead, Deuteronomy 14:1 says to Israel, "You are the children of the Lord your God. Do not cut yourselves or shave the front of your heads for the dead." Now, even though shaving and cutting as mourning rituals were outlawed in Israel, we know from other scriptures that they were still happening. And this isn't surprising because we know that people quickly incorporated other religious elements, even outlawed ones, into their lives. But Ezekiel was faithful to God. He was, as far as we know, a righteous priest. Sure, Ezekiel was living in less than ideal circumstances. He was a Judean exile living in Babylon, cut off from the temple, unable to fulfill his priestly duties. But it still seems an unexpected development that God would command him to break the law on top of being separated from his priestly purposes. Except God did. So why? When we think about ancient mourning practices, wailing, weeping, dressing in sackcloth, covering yourself in dust and ashes, fasting or eating bland food, shaving and cutting, it stands out that only shaving and cutting have lasting impacts on your outward appearance. Cuts take time to heal and could scar. Hair takes a while to grow back. When we look at the law in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, we see that the rule for all of Israel was never to shave the front of their heads or the edges of their beards, and priests weren't allowed to shave any part of their heads or the sides of their beards, and no one was allowed to cut themselves. And I think the key to understanding this is that shaving and cutting had long-lasting effects. If we keep reading in Leviticus 21, it says, "Priests must not shave their heads or shave off the edges of their beards or cut their bodies because they present the food offerings to the Lord." Priests were not supposed to bear any marks of sinfulness when they served in the temple. If they came in with the marks of mourning, they would be profaning their job. They were able to mourn only with forms that could be instantly cleared up so that they could worship God and do their duties. Similarly, the people of Israel were envisioned as priests of the world. They should be ready at any moment to have their hearts healed up and be in God's presence, not bearing any marks of mourning. With this in mind, let's return to Ezekiel. Why would God command against following Leviticus 21? It was a sign to the exiled nation. If God was telling a priest to shave his head, then there was no way that they were returning to the temple anytime soon. This judgment wasn't going to be a fast one. God wasn't going to rescue the people quickly. They were going to be unclean and exiled for quite a while. So it really is unusual that it would have caught everyone's eye in Ezekiel chapter 5, this action of shaving his beard and shaving his head. It's an extreme act of mourning, especially for a priest. But it's because of the extreme judgment that was coming on Jerusalem and the temple.
So, okay, let me get this straight. Just set this up. So we've got, he comes out of the exile. That means he comes from Jerusalem.
He goes into the exile, yes.
Goes into the exile, comes out of Jerusalem. And he, by the river Kibar, which is really a canal off the Euphrates River. And he's in the shadow of Babylon. And he is he's a priest, but he doesn't have a temple.
Yeah.
And he has no way to really fulfill the law of God. And yet God, you know, he's interested in doing something here and all of that. And God tells him, shave.
Yeah. Amongst other things. And so, you know, Ezekiel being called as a prophet would have given people simultaneously hope, right? Because God has not abandoned the exiles. That because Jerusalem's still standing, it's still going on. They know Jeremiah is a prophet there who's still prophesying. So there is hope. But at the same time, both of the prophets of God are saying, no, it's going to be destroyed. The temple is going to be destroyed. It's going to get worse before it gets better.
That is stunning because that's a big deal.
Yeah.
So even in exile, when you're trying to, you know, God said, go there and live in exile and all that. And God says, but things have changed.
Yeah, it's bad. It's really bad.
And so that's incredible. Now we're going to get into this. His wife's going to die. He's not going to be allowed to mourn. And
outwardly, yeah.
Yeah. And God is going to say, you know, this is how things are going to go. And then soon the temple is burned and Jerusalem is gone. Wow. Intense. So this is a real interesting time. I use the word interesting a lot for a lot of reasons, but anyway, it's very, very fascinating. All right. Stay tuned for more. In the meantime, the question.
Right. The question.
The question.
Dun, the
dun,
question.
Dun, dun, dun.
Sounds like there should be like an echo when we say
question.
That the question.
That was an echo.
Like that. That was good. That's pretty good. Okay. So anywhere from Jeremiah 46 through to Ezekiel 7 could also include the Psalms, but not this time. All right, so Ryan and Corey are on the spot. They're going to have to answer this. And if you were just listening a few minutes ago, you would have heard the answer. The Bible tells us that the word of the Lord first came to Ezekiel by what river? The Bible tells us that the word of the Lord first came to Ezekiel by what river? The river Euphrates, the river Jordan, the river Kibar. Which one?
We were paying attention.
Yes,
to this.
See? We got
off to pay attention.
All right. We're definitely going with Kibar.
You're going with Kibar.
Yes.
Now, if you were listening at home, you would also be very confident as Ryan and Corey are. And I'm going to read to you from Ezekiel 1, verse 3, that says, the word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans, by the river Kibar. And the hand of the Lord was upon him there. So, if you said the river Kibar, excellent. You got the answer right. If you didn't get it right, that's okay. Maybe you got up to get a drink of water when Rod was talking about river Kibar. You know what? That's okay, because next Friday's coming up and there'll be a brand new question and you can get right back on board again. And it's a wonderful way to test ourselves to see how much we are paying attention and how we're reading the scripture. So don't be dismayed if you got the wrong answer. Next Friday's coming round again quicker than you think.
Thank you for joining us. I just want to remind you that 3:30 Eastern time on Wednesdays, we have a Things Above program and we teach the Word of God and we pray for you afterwards. Join us for an hour, 3:30. And that's, of course, the Eastern time in America. Now, let's pray. Lord, we need you right now. We see that you're working. So come back quickly. In fact, Lord, we say, Maranatha, Lord Jesus, come quickly, Lord. In Jesus' name.